The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When is illegal demon weed marijuana not illegal demon weed marijuana? When you're busted and you say, it's hemp, and the prosecutor can't tell the difference. Is this what we're looking at in Texas with the passage and signing of the industrial hemp law that came out of the last legislative session? What does that mean for law enforcement and pot smokers? We want you to join our conversation. Call in 210-614-8980. You can be anonymous. You can give us a fake name, John Doe, whatever, because if you are a participant in the black market marijuana economy, sure, we'd like to hear from you. What do you make of all of this? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. You could also email with your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. In the next half hour, we're going to be joined by Bexar County District Attorney Joe Gonzalez. But right now, we've got Jolie McCullough with us. She reports for the Texas Tribune on Texas criminal justice issues and policy. She's got a humdinger of an article out today. Jolie, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Gary Remy, professor at St. Mary's School of Law, a consultant lecturer for law enforcement agencies on the criminal defense bar and the judiciary. Professor Remy, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So, Jolie, let me ask you about the article that came out today, at least I saw it today, about how the lawmakers who passed the industrial hemp law were given fair warning that what they were doing was going to make life very difficult for law enforcement trying to enforce the marijuana bill, the laws that we have on the books, right?
Yeah, so basically what's been happening since all of this is there's been a lot of finger pointing back and forth at who's doing what and why this is happening. So, you know, when the state passed this hemp law that went into effect last month, numerous prosecutors, both Republicans and Democrats, began either dropping misdemeanor marijuana cases or just kind of saying they wouldn't accept new filings without new lab results that can kind of show whether or not this is hemp or marijuana. Those lab reports are non-existent in state labs right now or government labs right now. So they've essentially kind of stopped, at least for the time being, actively pursuing marijuana cases. And so, you know, the state leaders came out, they were upset saying this has in no way decriminalized marijuana. The senator who pushed this bill through the Senate said this is, you know, they're using this as political cover because they were essentially trying to get marijuana off their dockets in already, and this is a convenient loophole for them to use it. But this is kind of holding them accountable, as is our job, right? There were warnings during the legislative session that this was going to be a problem and that this was going to cost money to be able to differentiate between hemp and marijuana now, and those warnings were ignored.
So during the hearing, when the committee, now, was it the House Committee on Agriculture and Livestock? Was that the committee?
Right. So that's the other thing, right? Like, this is an agriculture bill because it's mostly about, like, farming and regulating farm product because hemp is now going to be a farm product. So most people in the criminal justice system aren't really paying attention. But there were the crime labs there. And, yeah, it was the House Agriculture and Livestock Committee, and they went through a couple hours of mostly farming and regulation questions. And then at the end, they brought up someone from the Department of Public Safety and said, are there any issues here that we're overlooking for law enforcement? And he essentially said, you know, we can't right now test for THC levels, which is the part of cannabis that gets you high, which is what differentiates now between hemp and marijuana, is a THC level. He said, we can't test for that, so we'll need new equipment. We'll need time to implement a process. Otherwise, you know, that's going to be something we can't tell. And there was no response at all in the committee.
So, okay. So I'm going to go to Gary Remy, professor at St. Mary's School of Law. And the fact that the legislature was given testimony and they were told about this, that this was a problem, and they moved forward with the passage of this law, which, I mean, in a way, is a de facto decriminalization of marijuana. If you can't prosecute it, then it's very difficult to make it a crime that sticks. So is that correct? And then the implications that they were warned.
Well, it is a matter of practicality. We're talking not about whether hemp is legal or illegal. It is illegal to possess marijuana still, and a person can be prosecuted for that. The problem that prosecutors face is that they must prove every element of every crime beyond a reasonable doubt. And if you've charged somebody with possession of a controlled substance, the state of Texas has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it's a controlled substance. Well, controlled substance is defined by the laws of the state of Texas now to, for marijuana at least, to be a substance that has a THC content that's higher than 0.3%. You can perhaps tell by looking and smelling whether a substance is hemp or appears to be hemp or marijuana, but you can't tell what the percentage of THC concentration is unless you do some sophisticated laboratory testing. The state doesn't have that resource available at the moment, and so they really can't prove their cases. So I think they don't have much choice about whether to prosecute these cases.
So what does that mean? If you're on the street and you're a participant in our very robust black market marijuana economy, I mean, is this cause to celebrate, to light up?
Well, I guess it's cause to celebrate in the short run. The Department of Public Safety indicates that their lab will have the necessary testing equipment in something like 8 to 12 months, but of course it will require their personnel to become certified. So it's going to take a little time. And assuming that they stay on that time schedule, within a year we will have a laboratory in the state. The question that comes to mind, of course, is do we have enough laboratories? We need more than just the DPS lab in Austin. If every state agency in this very large state of ours sends samples of materials to DPS lab for testing, they're going to be overwhelmed instantly. There is a 2-year statute of limitations on the crime of possession of misdemeanor amounts of marijuana. And so the people who are using or distributing might have cause for celebration right now. But those cases can be held, and as long as they're prosecuted within 2 years, they'll still be valid cases. So they've been granted a reprieve, I would say.
But there already is a move here locally to treat low-level marijuana offenses in other major metropolitan areas as ticketed type crimes.
That's right. And I think that a lot of district attorney's offices, as you said in your introduction, would really like to reduce the docket on these cases. These are minor cases, and there's not a huge public clamor for prosecution of small amounts of marijuana possession. So I think this is a handy justification for doing that.
All right. Well, that's what some people are saying, and they're turning that into an accusation against these prosecutors. But then again, you're saying they have no choice. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. It's my understanding that there is this robust black market marijuana economy here right in our streets of San Antonio. I would love to hear people who participate in that economy. You can remain anonymous, 210-614-8980. The source returns right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The legislature passed a bill, said hemp is now legal, industrial hemp. They want to be able to farm it, grow it, and then profit from it. They can use that to make CBD oil, which is all the rage. But in doing that, there's not, you cannot eyeball hemp and say that's marijuana or vice versa. They're basically the same plant. The only difference is that marijuana has high THC levels that can get you high. You can look at hemp and it's going to have buds. It's going to smell like marijuana. It's going to be sticky like marijuana. It's going to look like marijuana, but it's not, because it won't get you high. It doesn't matter how much you smoke. So that's the problem, and it's causing a problem for our prosecutors across Texas. How do they make charges stick when they can't prove that that was a bag full of shake that was actually marijuana? The number to call in, 210-614-8980. Let me go back to Jolie McCullough with the Texas Tribune. How is this impacting prosecutors across Texas?
Well, it really depends on the prosecutor at this point. This was something that caught a lot of prosecutors off guard, actually, because it was an agricultural bill, so they weren't following it as closely. But about 2 weeks after the bill got signed into law and it immediately took effect, the Prosecutors Association put out an advisory for all Texas prosecutors saying, you might have some trouble with marijuana cases now. You're going to need lab reports that show different levels of THC, other circumstantial evidence, like you said, like smell or things like that might not make the cut anymore, which was used a lot of the times in marijuana cases before, especially low-level ones. But now it depends on where you are, but there's been kind of it's chaotic across, there's a patchwork system. So in most of the big counties, in the most populous counties, prosecutors they have dropped hundreds of cases of low-level cases that were pending. And they have stopped taking new ones, saying, like, we can't accept any new filings on a marijuana charge from law enforcement unless it comes with this test, which you would have to pay, like, a private lab, because none of the state labs can do that. There are some prosecutors who are saying, you know what, this isn't going to affect us. We're going to continue as we were. Whether that holds up in the courts is, you know, yet to be seen. This is all very new. And then there are others who are finding funds to go through private labs and do testing with places that can tell the difference of how much THC is in something, and just spending more money to do that.
And so could the lawmakers do a fix, or could Greg Abbott do a fix? Do you have to call a special session? Do you have to wait for the next session, Julie?
Well, I mean, obviously it's up to the governor what he wants to do in terms of a special session. It doesn't look like at this point that's in the cards. DPS did say at this point that they're going forward with a way to implement this testing. They estimate it'll be about 6 months now. So there is still this 6-month limbo, but it seems like there is like a fix, at least for the state-run crime labs. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the local crime labs, like Houston Police Department has their crime lab that can't do this. All these other big agencies have their own crime labs. So at least moving forward, that is seeming to be what they're putting their eggs in that basket. You know, the senator who moved this through did say, you know, these are still regulations that have to be, like, hemp growing regulations still have to be submitted through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And maybe there could be some things they tweak in there in terms of, like, regulation banning any type of hemp that could be smoked, which is not currently banned. And then, you know, if not, he put forward that if they need to tweak something in 2021 when they come back, then they'll tweak it.
Let me go to a caller. The number is 210-614-8980. Liz is on the line. Liz, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm always concerned about these new laws and who's actually pushing these new laws. And I'm curious if there's a possibility that there's some drug testing company out there who pushed this law and now is going to be able to sell all this wonderful testing equipment to all these law enforcement departments.
Liz, interesting thought. Drug testing company was playing the long game in trying to figure out how to sell more gear. But Jolie McCullough, there was definitely an industry pushing for the passage of hemp being legalized, right?
Yeah, so this is actually, yes, it's an interesting thought, but This is mirroring the federal law that passed in December. So last year, the feds passed a law, the federal farm bill, that is going to now legalize hemp and allow for regulation and growing of hemp. And so basically what they said is, states, you can either come up with your own ways that you're going to regulate this, or we'll do it for you, like we'll come up with the way for you. And as we all know, Texas isn't super fond of the federal government telling it how to do its business. So this bill was mostly mirroring that federal bill.
Sure, but there was
the hemp industry.
The hemp industry was all, because the CBD oil is huge, and it's just growing and growing and growing, and people see a lot of dollar signs. So Gary Remy, professor at St. Mary's School of Law, when the legislature is pushed by an industry saying, we want this legalized, and we want it legalized now so we can start making money, sometimes the legislature reacts, and they do what they said, and they do that.
That's right. I think very often when there's pressure like this and you see possible dollar signs for the state of Texas and for the agriculture industry in Texas, which is a huge industry. A lot of people stand to make a lot of money from the growing and selling of hemp products. I think there's a natural tendency in the legislature to, I don't want to say ignore, but
throw caution to the wind.
Yes, throw caution to the winds. That's right. Say, well, I'm sure we can overcome these problems. I'm sure we can find some way to prosecute.
And what could go wrong?
And what could possibly go wrong, even when you're told that this could be a problem? And I think we see some evidence of that happening in the fact that, unlike most bills, this went into effect immediately. That doesn't usually happen. You usually wind up having them go into effect maybe September the 1st or something after the session ends. That would have given everybody some time to adjust, including the labs, to figure out whether they have the equipment and how they're going to use it, and how they're going to certify people, and DAs could look around for alternative labs if necessary. But none of that happened. It couldn't happen because they didn't have time to react. So yes, I think there was a certain rushing into this, probably for financial reasons.
Okay, let's go to another caller. This is Dan. Hi, Dan. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Okay, it's looking to me like this is a kind of a prelude to legalizing marijuana. And again, for not just for the dollar value of hemp, but for the dollar value of marijuana.
Okay, thank you for that, Dan. So, Joe Lee, obviously, okay, there was a very popular bill that went through the Texas House that lowered the criminal penalties for low levels of marijuana. That did not find any ground in the Senate. That was a DOA, according to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. So there seemed to be, looking in Austin overall, not an appetite for legalization of marijuana. But was this an effort to backdoor that?
I mean, what goes on in legislators' heads sometimes is hard to read. It doesn't seem like that. These were fairly, like, especially in the Senate, this was a very conservative lawmaker who, you know, everyone, even in the House side, kind of repeatedly was saying, this is not a bill to legalize marijuana. They're still now saying prosecutors are taking this wrong and marijuana is not in any way decriminalized. And it seems as if this was more of a, like, a, you know, they went forward with the hemp law, and this is kind of an unintended side effect. Now, with the aftermath of that, you see some Democrats and some other people in the House saying, you know, is this really that bad? Like, is this something to be concerned about if they can't prosecute misdemeanor pot cases?
Okay, so this was not... It doesn't seem like it was was something that was plotted out to figure out a way to get marijuana legal on street legal. Jose has called in. Jose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I just want to say that because this lady brought up this thing about legislatures that are trying to cater to businesses that sell this equipment. My point is, so why not just legalize it entirely? I mean, if we're talking about money and revenue, look at Colorado, look at Washington, they're bringing in all kinds of revenue. If this is about money, why don't they just legalize it?
So, according to my notes here, it says that you told our producer that you're a former dealer?
I used to sell that stuff. I used to buy it from directly from Mexico and sell it. There's a huge underground industry. If I wanted to buy Morta, I could buy it today, right now. Within the hour, I could have as much as I want.
And what about knowing that they can't prosecute you? Does that enter into your calculus?
Well, I mean, if you have less than, 4 ounces, you're cool. And nowadays, and there's another problem with that, too. The underground industry right now, it is so potent that I'm afraid of what's in it. In the old days, when I used to buy and sell, you knew it was natural product because you could roll a joint and you knew it was coming out of the ground. Nowadays, one little speck will get you higher than the whole joint. And I'm afraid of what they have in it today. So to me, if you legalize it, at least it's regulated through the city. Nowadays, I'm afraid you're going to produce a bunch of marijuana that's got some really potent stuff on it that's above and beyond marijuana.
Sure, I hear you, because sometimes they take just stuff like potpourri and they spray it with synthetic cannabinoid, and people don't know the difference, and that can really mess up your brain. And but what about the fact that had Texas legalized marijuana, that they would have a huge tax source? This could raise a lot of money for the state. Jolie McCullough, has that come up?
It really hasn't in this situation. Legalization has not really been an issue that's gotten much traction at the legislature. The one that passed through the House this year was decriminalization, making it a civil penalty, and even that got brought down to making it a Class C misdemeanor, which is, you know, like your traffic ticket or a ticketable offense. But even that, like you said before, non-starter in the Senate. So in terms of benefits of legalizing marijuana, is not much of a conversation at the Capitol yet.
Another caller, Jax. And hi, Jax. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding crime labs. The crime labs in Texas are already extremely overburdened, and the Texas legislature actually allotted $50 million to address the thousands of rape kits that are untested and on shelves. Estimates are currently that the machines to test these marijuana possession charges would be $75,000 to $300,000 per machine, and there would be needing to be a machine at 20 different labs across the state, plus the cost of employees. So I'm wondering how leadership can justify that we should continue to spend funding on testing a plant while test kits for rapes are not being addressed at all.
Okay, Jax, thank you for that call, and let me kick that back to Jolie.
Yeah, so that is something that the crime labs have been bringing up. The Houston crime lab has been pretty vocal on this, that this was something that they needed funding for. If you're going to issue this new type of, you know, create this new law that required more testing for marijuana cases, that puts more, you know, work on the crime labs that you said are already facing a backlog, that they needed more resources. That has gone unaddressed at this point. I've asked for comment on that from state leaders, and I haven't gotten any response. And then DPS did just recently say they're going to use their existing resources. Whether or not, I don't know how much of it, if at all, comes out of that $50 million, because that $50 million influx was for, you know, improving crime lab efficiency, as well as, you know, prioritizing the backlog of rape kits. So it's unclear exactly what that means for other cases, and if, again, like what the prioritization does for actually analyzing these cases.
So Professor Gary Remy, in the court of law, now if you show up, are you going to be having to deal with this? I mean, it could just be automatically thrown out?
Well, I don't know that it'll be automatically thrown out, but there will be a decision, at least in some of the counties in Texas, not to accept those cases for prosecution.
When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Joe Gonzalez, Bexar County District Attorney. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Gary Remy, thank you so much, Professor of St. Mary's School of Law. Jolie McCullough, Texas Tribune. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health. The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need. Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond.
I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about this hemp marijuana issue, how difficult it is for law enforcement to tell the difference between hemp and marijuana, and how that distinction is so important, especially seeing how marijuana is illegal, but hemp is not. So we're now joined by Joe Gonzalez, the Bexar County District Attorney. And so, District Attorney Gonzalez, if you could tell us a little bit about how are you going about dealing with this this legalization of hemp and what that does for your ability to prosecute people?
Well, it's made our job more difficult because the law now requires that we prove a THC concentration of 0.3% or higher. It's virtually impossible right now to do that without a lab result. And so what we have decided to do until and unless we get a lab result with a case that is filed by law enforcement, we've opted not to accept any cases until further notice.
How is that not de facto legalization of marijuana?
Well, legalization is a legislative function. What it is, in my mind, is a proof problem. What has happened is because of the effect of this new hemp law, we are in a position of not being able to prove that what we think is marijuana actually is marijuana. And so, again, it's a proof problem. There's a principle in the law that requires the government, in this case the state of Texas, to prove beyond a reasonable doubt a crime. Well, how am I going to prove that it is marijuana unless now I prove the THC concentration?
Sure, but you're just worried about whether I'm just worried about whether I'm going to get arrested, or I'm going to worry about if I'm going to get convicted and put in jail. And if I'm being told I can have marijuana and you can't prove that it's marijuana, therefore you can't arrest me or put me in jail, then therefore what do I got to worry about?
Well, those are two different issues, because the first has to do with law enforcement's function. Keep in mind that marijuana possession is still illegal. It's a problem of being able to prove it in court. That does not hamper law enforcement's ability to make an arrest for what they believe or may believe is marijuana. In the past, we didn't have to prove concentration. All we had to do is put an officer on and say, "I believe, based on my training and experience, I believe it's marijuana." That would be sufficient. That doesn't cut the mustard anymore. However, that doesn't keep a member of law enforcement from pulling over somebody over on the side of the road. If they smell marijuana, they may conduct a search. They may find what they believe to be marijuana. They may decide to make that arrest and may or may not file the case with us. They are just now on notice that we will not accept a case unless it comes with a lab result.
But if I hire a good lawyer.
Well, again, and that's the reason. There are many prosecutors across Texas. Five of us have made the decision not to go forward. I think it's an ethical decision. In my mind, why would I subject someone to being prosecuted and having to go to court, having to hire a lawyer? And if he doesn't have a lawyer, guess what? We all pay for that court-appointed lawyer if I can't prove it. And so that's why we made the decision not to go forward. Sure, the defense lawyer, any defense lawyer worth his weight in salt, can raise the issue that the state of Texas cannot prove that it's marijuana. So why are we going to spend the taxpayers' money to get to that point?
Are you getting the equipment? Have you all ordered the equipment? You're looking at ordering the equipment when it becomes available so that you can prosecute these things?
What we've done is diligently search for a lab that would be willing to do the testing. And I'm going to scoop you, David, because we actually found the lab late last week. And there is a lab up in Pennsylvania that is willing to do the testing. And they actually have an office in Texas up by Grand Prairie. They're willing to do the testing. However, the testing, it runs about $500 to $600 per test. I understand we can get it down to as low as $250 per test. But if you're still talking about a misdemeanor marijuana amount, let's say it's an ounce or so, who's going to spend that kind of money? I know law enforcement, a lot of the smaller municipalities, they don't have that kind of money to spend. So it's now a problem of who's going to pay for it.
But if you have not just a guy with a baggie full of pot, but if you have like someone moving bales of pot through the community in semi-trailers, then you would be able to prosecute them because of this.
Sure. And if you're talking about bales of marijuana, it may be that that's a whole different ballgame, because remember, my marijuana policy only applies to misdemeanors. If we're talking about a felony amount, we may make the decision to spend the money to get it lab tested, even if it's up in Pennsylvania. And then if it's bails, it may be a federal question. It may be a federal crime. So I don't want anybody to think that just because we're in this situation where we're not in a position of prosecuting marijuana, that they're free to carry the bales of marijuana or free to carry the large amounts that may amount to a felony, because we are free to make that decision to go forward.
All right, let me go to the phones here. 210-614-8980. Joe Gonzalez, Bexar County District Attorney, is in the studio with us. We're talking about hemp and marijuana issues. And Jackie is on the line. Hey, Jackie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. So something that he just said and leads into my comment. You know, the illegal marijuana and the prosecuting of illegal marijuana possession, it hurts the poor and the young, those who can't afford the attorneys. You know, we risk, and it's hurt me personally and ruined my life. And I was luckily able to pull myself out after years and years and years of waiting for it to, you know, get brushed under the rug and no longer count for just crumbs. And I guess my issue here is, why isn't this a people vote and a people choice? I mean, there's no difference between marijuana. I mean, we're talking about percentages between marijuana and hemp. And it's really going to leave those who can't afford to say, no, test that. That's hemp. If they can't afford an attorney and afford to have that go, you know, tested, then they're going to get prosecuted. They're going to be, you know, charged with possession, and it's going to ruin their life like it did mine. And it's time just to leave it up to the people. Do they want it legalized? I mean, it's going to create jobs. It's going to bring in revenue. Keeping it illegal is just going to cost us taxpayers a lot of money, and it's going to ruin perfectly good people's lives and their potential.
All right, Jackie, thank you for the call. District Attorney Joe Gonzalez, you can really address your concerns about how marijuana laws have impacted the poor and people of color disproportionately, right?
Right. And you know that the caller raises an interesting point by saying, leave it up to the people. Well, the people's voice is at the ballot box, and what they can do is urge their legislators to move in that direction. What I'd been watching is Representative Moody's bill out of El Paso that decriminalized reduced the penalties for marijuana possession of less than 1 ounce. I, in my office, did something similar to that by making a decision not to prosecute or by declining marijuana possession that was less than an ounce. So that's an example of how a prosecutor can make decisions about what's important in terms of keeping my community safe or our community safe. And I'll tell you, the reason I did that is because I have limited resources. I've got to decide where to spend my money and my prosecutor's time. And to me, it's important to go after analysis of the rape kits and violent crimes versus the minor amounts of marijuana.
All right, another caller. This is Aaron. And Aaron, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I was curious. He said he has limited resources, and I was thinking that why don't we use some resources that we already have instead of these $300,000 machines that can test it? Why don't we try and use dogs to determine? I understand he has to determine the percentage level, but a dog couldn't a dog be trained to? We have them already. They're already out there. Couldn't a dog be trained to just smell if it does have THC or doesn't? That way you could eliminate all the hemp cases automatically, and then you would just have to do testing on the ones that came up positive.
All right, Aaron, thank you for that call.
Well, that is an interesting idea, but unfortunately, dogs are not scientists, and they can't. There's no way for an animal to detect the THC concentration of any controlled substance, of marijuana, for example. And it would take a chemist to be able to analyze it and to be able to detect the amount of the psychoactive active drug that gives it the high. So unfortunately, a dog cannot do that.
But it brings up an interesting question, because dogs are used, drug-sniffing dogs are trained to look for marijuana or hemp. They can't tell the difference. So if that is used and the dog's hit on something is used as probable cause for a search, is that no longer probable cause?
Well, it may be probable cause, but that's as far as it goes. We still have to be able to prove the marijuana beyond a reasonable doubt in a courtroom. So that while that may be enough for an arrest, it's not enough for a conviction.
So you can still use the drug dog to look around vehicles, search for signs of marijuana possession, and you find the leafy green bud substance, and you say, well, I don't know if that's marijuana or not, but we found it.
Correct. The use of the drug dogs is subject to the same rules as an officer's ability to search and seize. And he's still going to be tested, just like the dog's going to be tested, on basis of the rules of evidence and whether or not there was probable cause to believe that what they in fact thought was marijuana may have been marijuana. But again, when we get to court, we've got to prove that it actually was marijuana.
Got an anonymous email. I use cannabis responsibly for various ailments. I haven't needed pain medication in years. The current issue of prosecuting low-level possession cases makes me less concerned about the legal consequences of having it in my possession, which is only when I transport it to my home. It's time Texas stops wasting taxpayer money and ends prosecuting these cases. We're going to take a break. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Got the district attorney, Joe Gonzalez, in the studio, ready to take your talk call, answer your questions, deal with your comments. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Joe Gonzalez, Bexar County District Attorney, is with me in the studio today, and we're talking about this conundrum that we have about hemp and marijuana. Hemp is legal, marijuana is not, and it's very difficult to tell the difference. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. I have an email from Kenneth. It would be wasteful to ramp up testing resources to create capacity for the state to test hemp and marijuana. I imagine that at some point within 5 to 10 years, adult use of marijuana will be legal in Texas, maybe after legislation on the federal level, just like at the Farm Bill. Setting up an infrastructure to meet the short term seems like a waste of taxpayer dollars. And that's an interesting observation that we got from Kenneth, the email. So, DA Joe Gonzalez, what do you think?
Well, he may be right. He may well predict that in 5 or 10 years, decriminalization may come to Texas. But unfortunately, it's not here. Well, I guess it depends on the perspective. Fortunately or unfortunately, it is not here. It is still illegal to possess marijuana. And until the legislature changes the law, it is what it is. Again, I've been talking about my obligation and the issues I have with being able to prove that it's marijuana.
Do you think this development is having an impact on the black market for marijuana here locally?
If it is, I haven't heard how it is affecting the black market one way or another. I suspect it would have some kind of an impact, but I just don't know what type of an impact.
All right. Penelope has called in. And Penelope, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate the discussion on the recreational use of marijuana in San Antonio, because it has been going on forever. I've been smoking weed recreationally for over 10 years, and I would say there are less people that don't than the people that do. And I think when the people are allowed or given the opportunity to vote on it, it's going to be a for sure yes, because everyone smokes weed because it's medicine, and we should decriminalize all plants.
All right, Penelope, thank you for that call. So she's saying there's a lot of people out there who partake of the herb. And so, Joe Gonzalez, they're breaking the law.
Well, one of the reasons that I went to my declination policy on the lesser amounts of marijuana is because we had a number of those kinds of cases coming through our courts. They created backlogs. They created situations where people, especially the indigent, had to spend money to go to court, had to spend money on court costs and fines and paying for the court-appointed lawyer. And so I made the decision not to prosecute those low levels of marijuana. Again, it may at some point be legal, and unfortunately it isn't today, but I'm making the decision to focus my resources on the serious violent offenses.
But there are lots and lots of people in our community, people probably that we all know, we hang out with, maybe work with, who use marijuana recreationally, and they're not, you know, well, they are criminals, but they're not violent people. They're law-abiding citizens, productive members of society. You know, what are we doing here?
Well, not only that, a lot of them are college students. A lot of them are mothers with children that can't afford to lose their jobs, that some of them can't afford to lose public housing. So there's a lot of unintended consequences to going to court and ending up with a conviction. Again, that's another reason I've decided not to prosecute those kinds of cases. But I agree with you that that it's prevalent in our society. It's prevalent in Texas. But again, I can't emphasize this, or I'm sorry, I can't overemphasize this, that it is still illegal. While I make the decision not to prosecute you, I can't keep a law enforcement officer from arresting you for it.
All right, another caller. The number is 210-614-8980. And Rob, hey, Rob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. First, I'd like to thank D.A. Gonzalez. As someone who voted for you, I really appreciate the stand you're taking on this. With all the other financial issues we have in this state, I'm kind of tired of Austin wasting my money on stuff that doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yes, sir.
All right, Rob, thank you for the call. So he says we're wasting money on this type of low-level stuff.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
And so moving forward, you have contracted with this testing firm company, and they are going to – how soon are you going to start taking advantage of them?
Well, we have communicated with them. We have talked with them, but we haven't hired them to do anything because we're not the ones that would pay for the testing. Law enforcement still has the obligation to pay for the testing. So they would have to reach out to either us or to the company and say, we're willing to write you the check for the $250 a pop for the testing. Nobody has stepped up to do that yet. None of the law enforcement agencies, I would even suspect they may not even be aware of this company. So that's something that I'm going to begin a campaign of educating the local law enforcement agencies that we have this company that's willing to do it. But so far, again, no decision has been made to pay for any of this testing.
There have been some conservatives in Texas who accused district attorneys like yourself of trying to use this development in the law as an excuse not to prosecute marijuana because this is what you want to do.
Well, we understood that in our office when I made that decision to decline to prosecute these kinds of cases. The reality is, and I was saying at the beginning, I gave the governor the benefit of the doubt and said that this was an unintended consequence. Well, now I have seen the hearing where they actually informed the committee that this might happen, and they did it anyway. So the reality is, as the saying goes, it is what it is. I still have to prove that what I think is marijuana is still marijuana. And if I can't do it ethically, I think my only recourse is to not prosecute this. And I'm sorry that the conservative side of Texas doesn't agree with me, but the reality is I've got a job to do, and I have to be responsible to the voters of Bear County.
So what happens to you at the district attorney's office and you as a member of the bar? You have to worry about the ethical requirements of being a member of the bar, that if you take a case to the judge, you prosecute a case, even though you can't prove that it's actually marijuana, and you know that that makes it a weak case, but in order to satisfy the cosmetics that we have in our society and people who are critics, you move forward on that.
Well, quite by coincidence, we just had our statewide agency, Texas District and County Attorneys Association, come and give us a talk on it last Friday, and their advice to us is not to do it, not to put yourself in that position where if you prosecute a case where you don't believe that the substance is marijuana, and for whatever reason the defense attorney doesn't raise that issue, you may find yourself in a situation where that case comes back on appeal, that it gets reversed. So you've spent a lot of time and a lot of money to do something that shouldn't have been done to begin with. And so I don't think it's fair to the citizens of Bexar County to spend their money foolishly in that respect.
So with the Bexar County Cite and Release Program that you have put in place, and this is a big thing that you ran on, what does this do for that? Does this basically make the Cite and Release Program unnecessary until this gets worked out?
Well, the one area that I think that this does affect is my declination of less than an ounce. The amount from an ounce to 4 ounces is still certainly something that we're going to continue to encourage people to be part of the cite and release program, because remember.
Yeah, but if it's an ounce of what?
Well,
you can't even prove what it is.
Well, no. Exactly. We can't prove right now. But if for whatever reason the testing became available, and let's say it was $50 a test, in 6 months we may decide to prosecute you. So let's say I give you the opportunity, or we give you the opportunity to participate in cite and release, and you ignore it, and you say, you know what, you can't prove it anyway, I'm out of here. If we get the testing in 6 to 9 months, we might make the decision to file the case, and you might find yourself in court. So if we're giving you the opportunity to participate, and all you have to do is take a drug class, why not avail yourself of that? The officers have already made the decision not to arrest you. They've given you the opportunity to not have an arrest record. Why not go the extra mile and participate in cite and release?
So this is a situation we have today, this inability to distinguish between pot and hemp. But that's changing. We're in a situation of change and flux.
Correct.
And so no one wants to bet their future on this type of evolving situation. Who knows what tomorrow is going to look like? You're telling them, be smart, follow the rules.
Correct.
And do you think that's what people are going to do?
Well, I hope. The old adage, you may beat the rap, but you may not beat the ride. And remember, I can only control my 200-plus prosecutors. I cannot control law enforcement. They are free to make the decision to search, seize, and potentially arrest.
And are you talking to the police chief about this?
Yes. We're in constant communication with the police chief and the sheriff and other law enforcement agencies. We just met with a handful of school district officers yesterday. So we're again on a campaign of trying to educate the public about what this is and what this is not.
Okay, so if we're entering a situation where marijuana is harder to prosecute, don't you think we need to have a more upfront education system, really talking honestly about how marijuana is not a benign substance? It may be fun or for some people to use. I mean, it is a dangerous substance. If you're young and if you're using it habitually, it has proven to cause an impact on the brain's development. People need to know that.
Correct. I think it always helps us to have an educated discussion about substance abuse and even marijuana. And depending on who you talk to, some people believe that marijuana is a gateway drug. Others believe that it is not.
But it is neurologically proven to be harmful to a developing brain. Young people should not be using marijuana. We should make sure that we do not communicate in a way that it is not doesn't have its harmful effects.
Correct. And that's what if I go away with any message, it's that right now it's still illegal. I'm certainly not encouraging our youth to go out and smoke marijuana because it is illegal.
And it is harmful.
And it is harmful.
I want to thank District Attorney Joe Gonzalez, Bexar County District Attorney. Thanks for coming in today and helping us figure out this situation. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.